Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
You held my hand to steady me till I was ready to make a stand on my own two feet. While my world was crumbling down, and you tried your best to shelter me from the coming of the storm, you opened my eyes to see that all hope was not gone. You held me in your arms and wiped away my tears. Not even in a million years can I ever repay you for what you've done for me. You were there when I fell, but there was no place for me. You were there to show me truly believe in the miracle of creation, in the good and the bad. Oh, how I love you, Mom and Dad. You were there to lift me up when I was far too small, to see a brighter tomorrow. When my head was down, you prayed for me, said I just need some time. You said to spread my wings and fly, give the world.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, it's good to be back here. You're welcome to Everyday Muslim Live on WFM 91.7. My name is Amna Adams, and I'll be the one in the driver's seat. I'm going to drive this beautiful ride all the way till 12 noon, inshallah ta'ala. Today on the show, we're going to look at a topic, thing we've seen all sorts on social media, subhanallah, but what is the place of Islam? How do we Muslims, or how are we expected to treat this? And that's what we're bringing to you, caring for aging parents, fulfilling your duty with love and compassion. I'm sure you've stumbled on a lot of posts that will tell you that's not your business, you have responsibility for them. If they did anything for you, it's their business, and all of that. Let's see what the place of Islam is. And inshallah ta'ala, Professor Ahmed Adedeji will be the one to walk us through this. He is a professor of pharmacology and chair of the Department of Pharmacology and Toxicology at the University of Rwanda. His expertise spans life science research, drug development, infectious disease research, academic management, and human capacity development. He instructs pharmacology students in medicine, medical sciences, as well as pharmacy. Professor Adedeji earned his degree from the University of Ibadan in Nigeria and completed his postdoctoral training as a career development fellow with WHO TDR in Geneva. He is a fellow of the African Technology Policy Studies in Kenya and the American Academy of Project Management. With many international journal publications to his credit, he is dedicated to research, innovations, and community service, particularly in capacity building and development solutions. Notably, he initiated the multidisciplinary research program, Future of Medicine, Science, Technology, and Innovation, while collaborating with FIRA to mobilize researchers and African universities for participation in the African agenda. Currently, his research centers on personalized medicine, disease programming, and neurobehavioral effects resulting from stress, diseases, and drugs. Prof works with human participants and the Drosophila fly model, employing novel techniques to gain insights into disease programming in utero for later life manifestations in African subjects. We're going to be delving into this topic immediately. What is your duty? How do you perform your duty with love and compassion? Prof, salamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Thank you very much. I'm very glad
to
be here with you. Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. I'm here. Happy to be here with you.
I don't know if you can get closer to your mic. Your voice sounds a bit distant. I don't know if there's the network playing a fast one on us.
Could you hear me well now this time?
It's clear, but it's not loud. You're not so audible. Maybe, is it your earpiece? Maybe you're far from the mouthpiece.
Oh. Is it clearer now? Better? Hello?
Let's give it a shot. I can hear you. I hope my listeners can also hear you, inshallah ta'ala. Right. We'll just get right into it because I have tons and tons of questions already lined up. What are some common emotional and physical challenges that aging parents face? And in your opinion, how can we as their children respond with empathy and support?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين الحمد لله we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى and I also thank you very much for inviting me to this very important topic and I would like to start by reviewing with us what it means to be aged. It's a cellular process, and I will be coming from biological point of view first, that we have the biology of the human nature growing over time as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained it. When they started as a young baby, you have new cells, fresh cells, everything regenerating very quickly, grow over time, and you become younger, a child, and then a toddler, a child, and then an adult. And we go through the phase to become aged. What do we mean by aging? A reversal process that occurs over time because there are certain incompetencies that will come in setting when over a long period of time. So how does it express physically? We have our mother parents who are aged today, having been young before, energetic and full of power. They actually carried us through the young phase. So one will appreciate a parent when he sees his own child growing in his own hand better. And you see what it takes for you to nurture that child. So as man grows and women grow, they become aged, older. You could see the skin wrinkling and the face also showing some level of high level maturity. That starts to rumble and you see the skin also showing imperfect shapes over time. That doesn't mean the body is, the spirit is aged, no. But the body is overworked over time. Now, at that point, you are not able to do what you used to do before. The energy, this inner drive is strong, but you are not able to walk like you used to walk kilometers when you were young. You stand up and then you feel the pains on the back. Then you walk towards your children. You see you could not lift them as you used to lift them before, especially grandchildren. Then sometimes you prefer to just stay alone. Then again, you have seen so much of life that some you prefer to keep quiet over many things. So a lot of things describes what it is, a point of aging, a point when you are no longer able to do things on your own as you used to do before. You call for help, but coincidentally, the case is that the social order has not helped enough in this modern age. In the previous time, we have families surrounding. This time around, people could be lonely. Now, what do we do as children when we have to go about these different businesses, yet our parents are at home, aged parents are at home? We need to really take care of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقد ربك ألا تعبد إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that, look, there is no way for you to associate partners with Allah. And we have ordered you not to associate partners. And we have ordered you to be kind to your parents in their old age. And the Prophet ordered us, take care of them. Now, the question you asked me, I think should summarily start by saying, we have to take care of them. It's an instruction from Allah. Yeah. It's an order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've got to take care of them.
So there's no debate about it. We're all clear about that. It is that we must. It's not how do we, you know, we do it with empathy and, you know, how much support do we give to them?
It is very clear that that instruction must be upheld. Now, that instruction has a lot of dimension we must put into it for understanding. It is not just that straightforward. When anybody wants to understand caring, then let him observe a mother who takes care of a new baby. And particularly in the first emotion of a woman when they first give birth to the first child. And then you start to see how she pants when there are signs of danger, how she cries when the baby is not able to eat or sleep, how she struggles to put the baby on the back to make the baby crying, to stop crying, to sleep, to rest, how she tries to force the food through even when the baby seems like not ready to eat because maybe engaged in certain things. He knows she needs, he or she needs food to grow. How he cares for her in the night or for him in the night when she could not sleep or when he could not sleep. The mother does not sleep.
No.
Caring. So the mother demonstrates to us the very first level of care. Nothing must happen to this baby.
No.
Nothing. So in that respect, let's turn it back to the parent. Nothing must happen to this parent. He suffered when young because of me. So I have to take care of them from every meaning, from every angle of understanding, caring. Hospitality, accommodation, feeding, clothing, making them happy. And they are not requesting all this. Oftentimes, they don't request it.
No.
But for them, that's what keeps them happy. So it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that when they grow older, they may not be requesting you. But he has instructed you. It is your turn to take care of them. So by order, we have to ensure that they are happy. Ultimately, they are happy. And at their old age, they are not sad.
No. SubhanAllah. No, so when you, living with them, see them age, they are growing old right before your eyes, how can we realistically balance our daily responsibilities with the duty of caring for them without feeling overwhelmed or resentful? And I'd love you to respond from perspective of a child whose aged parents live under his or her roof and the one who virtually tends to the aging parents because they're just not fiscally, you know, close in terms of location. I'd love you to respond from both, you know, using both examples.
Thank you very much. I like that scenario painted towards the end of your question. So a person who has his parents or her parents under her roof or his roof, and the one that has a remote connection to them because of maybe workplace or some other factors that are taking him far away.
Ma'am.
One important thing is that a mindset must be clear. The intention must be clear that my parents, as they are aging, I have responsibility to them. The order, the educational system, or the working order, the social structure that we are living with now has not placed convenience into doing a lot of the things that we have been ordered to do. So for us as Muslims, we are more conscious than the world order. Because the order that establishes us is the order of Allah, to whom we shall be accountable. No. So the very first thing is the fear of Allah when my parents are growing in my presence. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have said that in one of the hadiths, the Prophet sallallahu said, may his nose be rubbed in the dust. May his nose be rubbed in the dust. May his nose be rubbed in the dust. Then the companion asked, who, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who finds his parents, one or both of them, during old age and does not enter paradise by serving them. So, in the order of life, we are born to serve Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already told us that in the Quran, that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has not created the jinn and mankind, illa liya'budun, except that they worship Him. So our primary service in this world is worship. So we must get that clear. Mm. All the things we're attending to, I am becoming a medical doctor, I am an engineer, I am a pilot, I am an agriculturist, I am this and that, were not primary purpose. Mm. They were supposedly going to be infrastructure for a better life. Mm. Infrastructure to live halal. So we should make a distinction. Is my work more important than my service to Allah? No. It means that when I'm going to grow a child up, I'll train a child and build capacity. I want to build a capacity that allows him or her to be able to respond to the service which Allah has ordained. Mm. One of the services. Serve me and be kind to your parents. Mm. It's a primary order. No contention about it. Serve me and be kind to your parents, either one of them or two of them alive. And lower your wing of honor for them. So this is a duty. It's not contestable. Mm. It's a duty. So it has to be taken right from when one is bringing a child to let him or her know that, look, there are basic responsibility for us in this world as Muslims, and we must live it. One, worship Allah. Two, take care of your parents. So I'm raising a child who will take care of the parents later in life. And I'm making him subconscious about that responsibility. Yeah. So he starts to plan his life along that line. So for a parent who lives under our roof, we watch them daily. We grow more passion rather than allow burden to set on our hearts. We're ready to sacrifice what we have for them. Everything that will make them happy. So a mindset that is straight, that is clear, that is worship-oriented, that is intended to hand reward from Allah, that wants to also enter paradise, sees this growing mother and fathers as the door, one of the doors to enter paradise. Mm. The Prophet was reported to have told us that if a man who is growing, if the father asks him something, the father has right to all his property. I remember this very well that the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in the pleasure of the parent. Mm. And the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in the anger of the parent. No. This was quoted by Tirmidhi. Therefore, one will want to watch his own hereafter. How is my hereafter going to be? From the angle of my parents first, in terms of care. So the one who is living at home has to take care of the mother, ensure that she lives in a very good home. Her room is cleaner than his own room. Hmm. I do not mean by it that he leaves his own room dirty. Okay, no. I mean that he's conscious, he or she is conscious to say, I will give the best to my mother and father who are growing old under my roof. If he buys one thing for himself, he wants to buy two things for them. He wants objectively make them happy. Sometimes you may want to even prepare the room, to the best of your ability or interest to make them happy. But they have their own choices. Mm. So you have to listen to them also. Mommy, would you like that I buy this for you or put this in your room? And she says, oh, no, don't worry about that. I can always manage this one. I think I like this one better than that one. Even the one you may like for her may not be the one she or him. He or she points to another thing. It's okay. Just make yourself ready so that you can shift ground when you think that that is going to help them. But if there's going to be any danger in what they want, you try and enlighten them. And if they say no, then you say, try and push patiently till they understand that there is a danger there that you don't want them to fall into. But sometimes they lose senses of reality at old age. When we were young.
Now, we asked for impossible things that were harmful to us, and they were tactical in protecting us now.
Yes.
Now,
You put a candle on the table and the baby says, I like to touch the fire.
No.
But you know it is harmful.
No.
So sometimes they may also be asking things because Allah told on Surah Al-Hajj that they will come back to that age when they were young.
No.
The maturity you saw with them to have excelled when they were in the age between 40 and 60 may no longer be there.
No.
So if they retard in rationalizing things, you be patient with them. So a mindset of being patient is important. Mm-hmm. On the other side, if you are far away, make sure you touch them every day.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do this? Sometimes you give a gift that every day when they look at it, they are happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were happy to see my daughter sent me this, my son sent me this. I am so happy. And she could tell it to other friends. What they like. Send messages, because this world now is close. Technology has brought it close. Send messages, send greetings to them. They wake up in the morning, they could see your prayers. You're thanking them. They feel happy. Well, it should not also be overdone so that they don't even feel bad. But at the same time, you see, you kept ensuring that there's a touch from your end towards them. Secondly, when they are remote, you also organize that your siblings, or you have people employed to assist should there be need for that, because they may not need anybody. They may want to be just like that, but they want to relate with you as their child, as a child. Now the issue is that we want to make sure that wherever they live is safe, even when you are not there. The security is fine, food is available. Whatever they need is available. They don't need to be struggling for water.
No.
Basic things of life. They don't need to be struggling for electricity. Although that is a common problem in Africa. But they've lived with it for a long time. As a child, I just wish that I could find alternative for them. So even before putting power support in my house, I already put power support in their house.
No.
Before I could do for me. Objectively, be in touch with them. Always make them feel happy. Call them. Make them happy. Get them to engage with other siblings who are at home. And get other siblings to be prepared. If we grow older enough and we have an elderly child who is in his teen, and we want them to live together, we could organize our school, the development of our children around them.
No.
Some people are afraid to put their children under care of grandmothers and grandfathers. As long as they did not lose the sense of maturity and development, they were the one who brought us up.
No.
And then the children grew to know, this is my grandmother, this is my grandfather. They work with them, they play with them. So sometimes when you are far away, put your children in their care, at least one or two. Always follow up, because that child brings your heart back to them, even if you are about to forget due to work life and other issues.
No.
So it is important for us to organize in such a manner that we are in touch and our heart is always with them and we pray for them every day. Abu Huraira was reported to have always been praying for his mother all the time. He prays for his mother. All the time. So we've got to really do this to ensure that they are happy in their environment.
No, subhanAllah. I love the way... Before, I would love to take a break, but I'll just ask this question. Hopefully we can get through with it. So when you spoke earlier about, when they are under our roofs, for example, and they are requesting for certain things and, all of that, how do we truly take care of parents who are experiencing illness or memory loss. So with all these responsibilities and burden that I have to go through, living through my own life and my family, my own wife and children at the moment, then I have a parent who has illness and or memory loss and have to deal with that, and also have my children and, you know, wife also fall in line. All of this, realistically speaking, how do we not burden ourselves and feel resentful towards them while maintaining this caregiving role with true honor and love, practically speaking, sir?
Right. Thank you very much. One of the things that is missing is our ability to raise ourselves in a community or to live as in a community. The Islamic system did not allow individual and family alone to establish the order of a society. It is such that individuals will establish families, families will establish a society, and that they live in harmony. Everybody. Now, in the olden days, if we take a quick look at our life before, in the 1950s in Nigeria, 1950s, 1960s, we live a communal life in which one roof is close to the next roof, and another family is in the next roof. Another roof is next, another roof is next. Even when a child gets married, he builds his own house around the house of the other people that are in that community. There is no fence, there is no barrier, there is no gate. The security was also protected at those times. We have lost touch of that social cultural structure. And that is also hampering our deliverables as parents and as children of parents this time. This I started with to let us know that sociocultural background and the society reorganization is an important thing to help us to achieve on this. Now, why is that very important? If I grew up as a mother, and I have responsibility on my child, and I have responsibility to my parents, especially that is aged, and then also sick, or having elder disease or incompetence, it is going to be very big burden. So for a wife who is a mother at the same time a child to parents, aged parent, the husband's cooperation is very important and support. For the wife is very important, and their support. And then the children, their support. Knowing fully well that it is not because the mother wants to get sick, the grandmother or the grandfather wants to get sick. Illness came because of old age.
No.
It is important to change our psyche and be ready to nurse them, to help them. So
especially when we don't even know where we are headed and what will happen to us in our own old age.
Old age illnesses never describe itself to anybody. It comes in different form, and those forms are tests to the children and to the community, and Islamic community for that matter, even the leadership of that community, because the society's wisdom lies in a lot of the elderly. If we protect them from falling ill, why did they fall ill? They fall ill because they use the machine, which is the body engine, for so many reasons. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests each one of us with them. We don't know. But we should also be proactive to ensure that the elderly don't get, we can prevent them from old age diseases, associated diseases. So it's a lot of responsibility on communal side, and it's a lot of responsibility at home. But very, very primary to this discussion, the husband helps the wife. The wife helps the husband. And the two of them discuss around the health of their parents. And they could see what they could do. So it's not an individual approach. They can also consult with the children. And the children are also made to be caregivers. So that means at that level, we must wear the gown of a caregiver. Ourselves. Not getting somebody from outside to do. I need to read a lot about how to take care of them, especially when the disease is diabetes or hypertension. How do I proactively ensure that they could use their drug and they can stay fit and they are not weakened? How to ensure that even when they need medical attention, that attention can be factored into my program? One of the first things I read about how to take care of the elderly is have a right mindset, know that it is a necessary responsibility, and that will not burden you. And in that process, it will give you more courage to be able to achieve in the other areas. You remember that it's not only parents that could be a burden, health burden. Even a child that is sick in one's hand. Congenital malformation. You can't throw the child away. Genetic disease or decide away. So the mother is, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wusaha. It is sure that for anybody whom he has given such kind of things, let him believe that Allah sees me. I am a servant. I am a slave. He knows that this burden is not something that will kill me or that will overburden me. He would guide me. So we return back to Allah to guide us on how to maximize our time, optimize our time, and deliver to every quarters the child, the husband, the father, the mother. It is not something that I can describe with one model, because everybody will have to face it in different circumstances. But what is important is prepare that this will not be a burden psychologically. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it an opportunity to see his pleasure. Guide with knowledge how mothers should live and grandmothers should live at the age when they are when they are diseased, so that we can take care of them and managing their life in such a manner that they feel happy with it. Even when they are diseased, they could see it. They are deteriorating disease, meaning, for example, urinary incontinence, for example, could set in at a level. Some of them can be reversed. It means that we need health care. And that means my daughter that is going to become a wife or a mother, and before we become older, must also learn how to read very well and accommodate knowledge in his life to help when we also get older. Because lack of knowledge allows some people not to take care of their parents very quickly and prevents a breakdown of illness completely, irreversibly. And that is not good enough. It means that when I'm growing, I'm also thinking about them in my daily life. When they are still stronger and I'm strong, I'm thinking about them that when they go old, what should I do? How should I plan their life? How should I ensure that there is always nurses taking care of them? Health attention given to them, maybe not nurses. These are very crucial things. But I may not be able to give a practical, just one jacket model that says this is what you should do. But let's be prepared with a very open mind, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever ready to help us to solve the problem. We are not the one who will give them even the solutions to the problems. But we must try our best to ensure that we are able to prepare them for a better life and happy life when they are growing old.
I would love for us to take a break so we can catch our breath. And of course, when we come back from the break, we'll open the phone line so that we can take reactions from the audience. However, I would love you to ponder over my next question, because there's a twist to it. So in a fast-paced society where many families live apart, what are some practical ways to stay emotionally and physically present for aging parents? And I'm saying this from a perspective of, say, I'm creating a scenario of a parent or parents who have raised their children and sent them all abroad, and one's in Australia, Canada, and all the likes. There's no child available to physically be there to take care of the parents. And unfortunately, these parents are not interested in relocating and living outside the country. They are more comfortable living here. In such situations, how do you realistically carry out the duty? You have the wherewithal, you have the energy to care for them by yourself. You know, how can we get practical with this? Or worst case scenario, there's a child in Nigeria out of the siblings, only one is in Nigeria, and she has the capacity to take them under her roof. Unfortunately, she's with a spouse who's not welcoming of her parents living under their roof. How do we navigate this kind of troubled waters? So I'm going to come back to you right after this break. Let's take a break.
Thank you.
the similarities between us. Take a minute and see yourself in the mirror. You look like me, those eyes, lips, you can't deny. Have you thought about why we look the same, why we feel the same? Don't tell me it's by chance. Oh,
it doesn't matter if you live far away from me. At the end of the day, we're brothers and sisters, especially for those of us that grew up in the 70s, 80s, early 90s. It was still a community living at that time. Every parent on the street, we had a lot of street uncles and aunts, right? Everyone looked out for, you know, the upbringing of the child. It was a communal upbringing at that time. So you've all traveled out, but these parents are still here. Can you lend that helping hand? Can you be that child to look after these aging parents? Anyways, you know, it's not me to say that. Prof is still here with us, Professor Adedeji. I did ask a question before we went on break. Do you need me to repeat or we're good, sir?
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's good. We can go. I understand the question very well. I thank you very much that we're coming into the second session. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to be with all of us and increase our knowledge and understanding and how to worship Him well with our parents that are aged. You painted a very good scenario that is happening to us in tropical Africa and other African countries. And not only there, some others also have the challenge in Europe and Americas. In their own setting, what do? They take the mother who is isolated at home to
old people's home.
Old people's home. They will take them to old people's home. And that is further cracking the social fabric that brings the family together. And they don't have the feelings, because there are two sides to this, physical and emotional. And the emotional concept side of it is to be the real servant of Allah. But when it is physical separation, and then it is done like that without those associated feelings, it is separating us further. No, so we're not really doing it rightly. Our parents that are aged, that are in our home country, and all children are outside, we that are outside need to rethink. If they die and we go to give accounts to Allah about how we took care of our mothers, shall we pass? I think that's a question that each one of us should ask. I understand very perfectly that situations around the country, sometimes, for example, Nigeria, Ghana, other places, not even those countries, not only Nigeria, even in Uganda and Rwanda, people want to go out. Why? Because we've not had the best of kind of life that we want to live as a society. The facilities are not there, so everybody's trying to struggle to get something, and we move far away from home. Now our parents are at home. The question that bothered me much when you asked it was, shall I be able to give account of my life to Allah about my parents if I were far away from them and there was nobody to also help? Other siblings are in America. I am somewhere in maybe South Africa. And so how do we organize as a family? We must take responsibility on our parents. So it means that we've got to organize ourselves. So I will be conversing for those who are outside to meet regularly to say, what do we do? Right. So it's a family planning. How do we do it? What do we do? We have two of our parents at home. They live, they work every day, sleep every night alone. Nobody is there. If one of them is asthmatic, nobody is going to go and give a help to bring the drug, to give water. The mother and father start to help themselves at their old age. Yet they spent a quarter no, three quarters of their lives
saving, serving, us. Serving, slaving yeah. for us, subhanAllah.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got to really rethink how we handle this. We should not buy into the modernization that separates us, the culture that took us far away, because at the end of the day, what will happen? If I am in Australia, I'm going to die and return back to Allah. If I'm in India, I'm going to die and return back to Allah. If I'm in America, the same thing will happen. Next, my parents also will. So there is a common hand to all of us. No. But Allah will judge. No. Allah will ask, did you do exactly what I asked you to do? Who told you that I cannot give you risk where you are? Now, I'm not going to be too blunt about that because I know it requires a lot of strategic understanding. And I'm not saying it just to say, oh, look, you live wherever you are and come home. No, no. It requires planning. No. So wherever you are, I pick example from my parents, my father, when he wanted to handle his father, who was my grandfather, he decided, I am going to resign from workplace at the age of 50. He returned back to Ibadan. Being a soldier man, he was posted different places in Nigeria, had to travel outside, but returned back home to Ibadan, where his own father was, and said, I will sit and take care at age 50 and above. I took a very important lesson from there. When you start work, plan the time you are going to exit. And plan it in such a manner that your fathers and mothers, who are our parents now, should be still strong enough for you to contribute to their life, because it's a time for you to return. If you started working at age 18, by age 50, you are 32 years already in service. If we cannot plan very well at the beginning of 18 to say what will I lean on when it is 50, then we'll be making mistake. That means that we want to serve all till about 60, 70, and when we also become grandfathers, we have nobody to take care of us. In fact, because we did not show the children how to take care of our own parents, indeed, they will not be ready to take care of us.
Indeed.
These are kind of challenges that we have. So if the current situation is now that we have mother at home and she's not ready to relocate, father at home, not ready to relocate, and they gave birth to about 6 children.
No.
5 of them, 6 of them were successful.
No.
What makes one of them not to return home?
No.
Let's think about it.
No.
And then if anyone decides and say, let me go home, all of us that are also working outside may decide to say, without him asking, let's make contribution and give to him. Let him live happy as he's trying to take care of our parents.
No.
So it's a business plan that must be structured very well for us to take care of the parents. One of us must resign from wherever we are and say, I'm going home. If there are people at home and not everybody is outside, let's empower the person at home.
No.
We must live as brothers and sisters in this situation.
No.
Unfortunately, that what I'm describing is not the case. Everybody had come struggling and in his own direction. If he makes million, he's not bothered about the junior brother.
No.
Whatever he can give is what he gives. There's no family meeting. There's no family organization. They don't even take care of their own children together.
No.
Each family is now taking care of his own children.
To each his own, subhanAllah.
And also, now we also have a spouse who is not supportive, willing to bring mother or father into their care. To them, we will say, one day you're also going to be father and grandfather. To the mothers who refuse the in-law to come, we should say that one day you will become grandmother. You will experience the weaknesses at old age that these parents are experiencing now. Let's think about it. But we know very clearly that what you put forward is what you meet with Allah.
What you sow, you'll reap, subhanAllah.
You will reap. So it's better for us to accommodate. We will preach to them and say, please accommodate. And this is where brotherhood of families always work. If we are friends to another family, I should have a friend who is a head of a family, with whom I can share things because of our Islamic nature and brotherhood. And he says, no, don't think it that way. So that I have advisors. I am not alone in my own life. I have brothers I relate with. Never have we found the Sahaba live in isolation.
No.
They were taking care of themselves. In fact, they were concerned that you could even imagine that they could identify the fingers or toes or body parts of another brother when they die, when the head is not there.
No.
That is the level of brotherhood they have shared. We cannot live in isolation. We must live together. And for such people, we should educate them. And I think, like you have rightly been guiding the public about this program, some program or some kind of curriculum development should come from our organization. We all have Muslim organizations. We should pay attention to the elderly and to prepare the generation now that are still strong, able, that have parents, to start to prepare for this. We didn't factor this into our curriculum of development.
No.
We should learn about it. It's not something that just come. We should prepare ourselves. So organizations should be preparing the society members for the time this will come. Please accommodate your wife, your in-laws. I help them. If you can't bring them into your room because of certain reasons, which may be because we are not the same, which may be well known to you, organize a solution that can help. Don't just abandon.
No.
I see that as another way, because we're all human beings are not the same, and all homes are not the same.
No.
I can't say that the person who has two rooms with the wife and the children, they are managing a two-room apartment, would find another space. He may not find a space. It's understandable that is technical.
No.
When it's technical, you can find a way to solve. Maybe let's find a home close to our home for your parents to move to.
Mm.
And then they are closer to the place. They can always go to meet them. They make the children also interact with them. You know, most important, I think, to most grandfathers and grandmothers is that they are able to even relate with the grandchildren.
Children, no. It's a therapy on its own, subhanAllah.
Sincerely, and they feel happy. All the diseases you thought they had would go. It will disappear suddenly because there is a psychological state of mind that helps them to also fight diseases. And immune responses, immunity responds to psychological states. This is what we know that very clearly in medicine.
No.
So when they are psychologically happy and they are okay, you find that the body responses are also positive.
No.
Keeping them alive, their fourth depression they overcome.
No.
The fourth weakness they overcome. They are always happy with the children smiling and laughing.
No.
And you know, laughing itself is a therapy.
Indeed, no.
So I think a lot of this has to be with our planning, which involves educating our colleagues, our family members. If we are far away, we can come together and plan. Like we were planning for our businesses, like we're planning for our education. Like we could plan for our parents. They become like a subject of concern
full-fledged project. In fact, my next question, I'm going to put you on the spot. Permit me, and forgive me in advance, Prof. And that's because I love the fact that you've shared something. You are who you are today. You are fully in tune with the duty and responsibility towards your parents because you had a role model. And so I want you to help us practically prepare ourselves mentally and emotionally to care for our parents. Who once cared for us? You know, but now they depend on us for everything, even the simplest things like recharging their phones. They depend on us because you walked in the shoes, you saw it practically, you could step in and, you know, be who you are. So I want you to share with us those practical steps that can help us and aid us. And I love the fact that you said, you know, when you said from age 18, you know, once you started working, you've worked for it. So it's all encompassing. Everyone is on board, from, you know, children, the parents, adults, younger children, everyone should be in line in this preparation. So how do you mentally and emotionally prepare yourself for that phase? If you would please share examples from your own life. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Life has been to each one of us presenting in different faces, with different faces. I will not be able to actually describe for one person, this is what you do, but based on circumstances that befall each individual, there are basic things we need to do. So number one, I grew up to learn that don't be far away from your parents. My own experience of life was such that my father, with may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, wanted me to grow up with my aunt. So I did. My aunts also have aged parents. They were living in Ibadan. My father was also living in Ibadan. Sometimes, and it goes on, sometimes his job takes him to Ibadan. Or well, let me say the family lives in Ibadan. So in that manner, what did he do? He was taking care of my aunt's grandparents with my mother while I was with my aunt in Abeokuta. So anything, if anything happens, we call, you know, that I hope that my audience also hear Yoruba, we call his parents, her parents, Babani Fugada, meaning that the our father who lives on the other side of the bridge.
Okay.
So when you say Gada in Yoruba, it means that you're crossing a bridge to the other side.
Okay.
So now, with that name, I grew up to know that Babani Fugada was like our grandfather. I also know his own father, like our grandfather. From that, I think that share, ensure that your children know your parents. If you are overseas, bring them home. Struggle like you save to buy cars outside there, like you save to buy houses outside there. Struggle to save for them, at least in their lifetime, let them come home to see your parents. It connects the children to the grandparents.
No.
When we lost Babani Fugada, my aunt brought me home to come and see how burial is done. It gave a touch of connectivity. Then I knew her own mother must also be taken care of. So all the time, even when I'm staying with my aunt, I would say, when are we going home? And that, I imagine, would also happen to every child that has been made to know grandparents.
No.
Their hearts is always there.
No.
They pray for these parents.
No.
Now, that's on one side when we are growing. When we start working, prepare your retirement from the day you start working. And make your retirement coincide with when you imagine that your parents are also going to be elderly and will need your support. Don't give excuse. What can we do if that was going to be one of our plans? If you are working as a civil servant, because you are a civil servant, you will not be released from civil service until you ask that you be released or age catches on you.
No.
Don't rely on the monthly salary. Build secondary income source and plan your retirement. This is one, in actual sense, somebody told me, you see, civil service or civil servants are true servants. They will never get freedom. But if you want freedom in your life, start to use the ladder of civil service, private engagement, working in private sector, work to prepare when you are going. So you have a long dream. So every day you spend at work, you are actually going towards your dream.
No.
But those who are able to free for themselves from government job or being employed, those who are business people, start to prepare your retirement also by putting businesses around your business and establish people within that business, so that when you grow older and you're not strong enough to work, you have incomes. You get streams of income that continues to flow when you are strong. That helps us to prepare.
I need to interrupt. We have a message. It's a lengthy one, so I'm just going to go to the bottom of it. He's quoted a few hadiths, but I'm just going to start from, I remember the hadith of a man who told the prophet that he had carried his mother, aged mother, on his back for her tawaf. I wanted to know if he had fulfilled his duties towards her. And Prophet ﷺ said to the man, he hadn't fulfilled the reward due to her for a single contraction of his mother's womb during his delivery, during his birth. This is how honored parents are in Islam. I would like to ask if, as Muslims, these duties extend to non-Muslim parents, or particularly applicable to parents who are Muslims. And I would also like to add an addendum to that question. What if we had absent parents, all those parents that abandoned the children and then in their old age they want to be cared for by these children? We have a few minutes left. If you could just quickly respond, sir.
Thank you to the question. To the first question, if we have parents and we have to do our duties to them, if I get you right,
they're not Muslims.
We must, If they are non-Muslim,
yes,
if they are non-Muslim parents, we pay our duty by Allah as He has ordained.
No.
Whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim,
no.
Parents is parents.
No.
So for us as Muslim, this is the order.
Mm.
I always ensure that we are able to serve them as Allah SWT has said, lower your honor in front of them. Do not say oof to them. Do not shout at them. Do not disrespect them. Do not condemn them. Do not anger them. Do your best. Now, for the ones who did not take care of the children and they wanted the children to take care of them, it is their right to ask. It is their right to ask at that age. Whether they took care of the child or not, that is, they will answer that with Allah.
But you do your own bit because Allah has given you the instruction to do that. SubhanAllah.
Yes, and no, coincidentally, sometimes Allah SWT will give you wherewithal to even be able to take care of them.
No.
If you don't have because you think that it is because they did not take care of you when you were young, that was why you didn't, so you are not successful and you don't have money and you don't have to take care of them. No. It is not because of that. Even if they have taken care of you then, and they gave you all that they had, and they gave you all the money, if you are not going to be rich when you grow old, at that age, you will not be rich. It's Allah's decision.
No.
So if you don't have, but be kind to them. That's what the word Allah used. Allah did not say, you be, spend the riches. He said, be kind to them.
Kind. Jazakallah khairan, Prof. We're out of time, SubhanAllah. This could take longer than this. May Allah reward you abundantly. May Allah keep you and your home and make your children merciful to you in your old age and us too as well. Jazakallah khairan. And thank you to all that contributed to the show. I have a few more messages. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Inshallah ta'ala, Everyday Muslim returns next week with another beautiful package. Until then, stay blessed. Care for your parents. Plan your life with them in the picture. SubhanAllah. May Allah reward us all.
Thank you very much. Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Masi sondele, pela no kolo yelele. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. You feel at peace inside and it'll open every door.